Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. Like always, I have a question for you. Does my teaching style create more questions in your mind than answers? I've been getting a lot of great feedback from our series in Galatians, and I'm really excited about that, so keep it coming. I've also noticed that a lot of the questions seem to come from the same place within your minds. So after thinking about my responses to you, it occurred to me that the issue is not so much about content, but the frameworks of understanding that differ between us. It's a sort of epistemological language barrier, if you will. So in this podcast and post, we're going to take a brief pause from our study to clarify what I'm trying to do, since so many of you are new and tuning into us. My goal is to help you understand why we have so many triggers that create dissonance in our thinking, why I'm always picking on those triggers, and how we can learn to see beyond everything. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. You're listening to podcast 168. My name is Kevin Winder. I'm your host, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things. I'm so glad to have you with me. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Sunday. And folks, I want to just say thank you to all of you who are signing up, who are forwarding these podcasts and posts to your friends. It really warms my heart to hear that it's causing you to think, that you're learning a lot, that you're interested in sharing the conversation with others just because you're hearing something new and maybe reframing things in a new way. I have been getting a lot of feedback, and one thing I have noticed is that a lot of this stuff comes from the same place. And I have repeated my answers several times, and I think I understand why. And so what I thought I would do, because there are so many new people, is just take a tweener, a little break from our series, and talk a little bit about why my teaching style is the way it is. I know that it's unlike what you're probably hearing at the local church. You're probably not hearing it like this in academia or anywhere else, because I don't teach the same way, and there's a very big reason for that. So today we're going to talk about Clear as Mud. That's the title of our talk today. Podcast number 168, Clear as Mud. And, you know, like I've been saying, this series in Galatians is really gaining traction. I made a commitment at the beginning of the year that I was not going to do anything other than just teach from a deep place in my heart what I'm passionate about. I'm not going to try and curtail it, shorten it, lengthen it, do anything to my content for the sake of anything else. I'm simply going to teach the way I like to teach. And what I'm amazed and just really overwhelmed with is how much you appreciate that. And so I'm going to continue doing that. And I'm really grateful for your comments and questions, like I said earlier. So please keep those coming. Ask me any question anytime. I really do enjoy that. And over the last 3 weeks, I know that I've pressed firmly in this study on the theological scaffolding, as I call it, that really props up the majority of people's understanding. I mean, whether you are a Christian, an atheist, an agnostic, maybe you're not sure, maybe you come from something more fundamental like Islam or Judaism, Catholicism, Mormonism, who knows? We all come to the questions of life with a theological scaffolding. Even an atheist has concluded something about theology and God. And so let's understand that one of the things I do is I push on that all the time. I push on that button. And a lot of people don't like it. A lot of times it feels invasive. It's personal. Some people just react. Some people don't care. And I think that pushing on this can actually be a very healthy process. I think it can lead to a wider experience. But some people struggle with this dissonance that it creates. It kind of creates this knee-jerk reaction, this pushback, this anger even, this offense. And as a result, some people are really quick to just dismiss my content outright. I mean, I could tell you if all the people who unsubscribed had still being subscribed, I'd probably have double or triple the number of subscribers in my audience. So let's just say that, you know, I have a lot of folks who think they're getting a typical Bible study, and then they tune in and they're like, he said something I don't agree with, and they label me and they unsubscribe. I don't want that to happen. And I don't want to confuse you. And since there are so many new people signing up this year, I thought today I was going to go through and just try and fill in some, but not all of the holes, the blanks that seem to be reoccurring from your comments. Okay. And so I hope that this time today will really help you understand the how and the why. Okay. And the first thing that we need to get kind of squared away is that a number of you who are new to this blog and podcast make some comments and questions and ask me if I'm anti-church or anti-religion. And this is because of my very critical examination of modern Christianity and world religions. I'm not anti-church or anti-religion. I'm anti-crummy church and anti-crummy religion. One person referred to me as an ecclesial anarchist, which I found very humorous, but nonetheless inaccurate. I'm not simply dissing the church. I'm not somebody who's angry. Yes, I've been burnt by the church like most of you have, but I'm not just angry and venting on a blog or a podcast here. I've been doing this for far too long for that steam to still be powering this, I assure you. What I'm doing, I truly believe I am speaking prophetically to the church, to religion, to people, to the city, to the world. Prophets are always outside the city gate. They are always outside the norm, the mainstream. They're bringing a message that is met often with great hostility, frustration. But they're seeing something that the rest of the people aren't seeing. And they're quick to point it out. Why? Because they love the city. And for me, the deconstruction that I offer is because I truly desire the church and systems of faith to be reconstructed into the healthy bride that redeems a hurting world. Not this neutered, impotent tribe that despises the world that we see so often today. So I truly do believe that the church has gone off the rails, but I'm not here to just poke fun at it and criticize it. I'm here to deconstruct it, and hopefully pastors, teachers, lay leaders, members, and people are listening and will take these ideas back and reconfigure, rework the community church so that it can become an agent that redeems their cities. See, that's my hope. And my work through these studies is to reframe how the church believes so much more than what the church believes. Now, that's a huge framework shift for most of you. You go to churches, you listen to your priests, your imams, your pastors talk. They're going to tell you what to believe. They're going to say this belief is the right one and those are the wrong ones. And the biggest gap often comes with this how versus what. And this is why so many questions emerge at first from new listeners. They get high-centered on what I say and not how I got there. And I hope this helps to kind of slow down any knee-jerk reactions to my content. I'm always focusing on the frameworks and the presuppositions behind our thinking. You see, our grasp of truth emerges from these internal frameworks, the way that we have constructed reality within our minds. I call it our molecule. Everybody kind of has a different thing, but it's a paradigm for how we make sense of the world. And so I have to kind of go deep enough into that substructure of your thinking, or much of what I'm going to say is going to be lost. And so a lot of times I'm pulling from reality and experience and things from to get at that place in your mind so that you can see it from this unique perspective. Because if I just come along and say, believe this thing because the Bible says it just like this in this passage over here, so therefore it must be authoritarian or authoritative in your life for you to believe exactly as I'm believing, and anything who doesn't is not biblical and not right and not true. That's dogmatism. That is religion using a power play. It's threat. It's ethical violence on people. And I don't do that, okay? I strive very, very hard not to do that, okay? A related, then, snagging point for listeners is often this binary epistemology. Now, I used that word before, and if you're not sure what that $10 seminary term is, it's really just your theory of knowledge. It's your framework for how you make sense of the world. And we all have one. We all have a framework of understanding. But most people, especially in America, especially modern, contemporary, you know, worlds, have this very binary framework of understanding. I equate it to the on-off switch at the kitchen light, right? It's either on, full power, or off. On, off, right? In other words, it's a very black and white way of thinking, right? And we reduce reality into controllable tidbits like it's in or it's out. They're saved or they're not saved. This is true or it's false. It's up or down. It's good or it's bad. This is valid teaching or invalid teaching, right? Whenever you see these black and white, this binary, this on-off switch, you know that somebody's operating from kind of a lower level way of thinking, right? There is a higher way of thinking. This is what truth is. This is what spirituality is. This is what Christ and all wisdom teachers are pointing us to. In Christianity, it's viewed as the Trinity. It's a system of three. It's ternary. In Eastern perspectives, they call it the third way, right? What they're getting at is this way of thinking, this epistemology that is actually not binary. It's not an on-off switch. It's actually more like a dimmer switch, right? Where you twist the knob and varying degrees of light start to come into the kitchen. It's not off. It's not completely on. It's somewhere in between at varying degrees. This is called ternary thinking, right? This is Trinity. This is third way. This is where spirituality has brought so much good into the world. And truth resides within, but not completely within, every shade of gray. Now, have you thought about that, right? You might think of the truth that you have as being totally true, but you don't possess all the truth there is. Every single one of us is only a partial believer in the truth because none of us possess all truth. We are all on this dimmer switch. Some are closer in proximity to understanding and truth. Some are less, you know, and that's okay. But this is a framework to help us understand what we're coming from. And once you're there, you'll be less likely to see my content or anybody else's as either understating things or overstating things, as either he's wrong, I'm right, or he just said something that sounded like a universalist, or he sounded something that sounded like a Calvinist, and I'm an Arminian, and that can't be true, or whatever it is, right? If you understand this, you're going to have less of a knee-jerk reaction to the content that I'm saying. Now, just be warned, though. Changing this mode of thinking does not come easy. Ask anybody who's tried to get out of their dual mind. This, to get out of non-duality, is not an easy process, but it's certainly the spiritual process. Okay, that's the journey for all of us, is to open up our mind. In Christianity, we call it gaining the mind of Christ. Now, fundamentalism, and keep in mind, fundamentalism is not just about religion. There are people in academics who are fundamentalists about academics. If you were to go to the NFL and talk to a coach, they would be a fundamentalist about the basics of coaching a pro team. Fundamentalism is in every echelon of business, the arts, academia, athletics, and especially religion. Okay, so fundamentalism, everywhere it's found, loves binary power. It loves the on-off switch. The dimmer switch threatens it a little bit. Why? Because fundamentalism can get engaged in control and argument. Fundamentalism has to pick a team. This is why you see so many straw man arguments where they're like, well, they said that and they're wrong, so I'm this. I define myself as this thing over here. And so anything that's not defined as this thing is therefore the wrong thing, right? It's on off. It's either or, valid, invalid, innies and outies, right? But spirituality and the teachings of Christ, they evade this pitfall. And it actually heals people into a wider ternary framework, this system of three, the third way. If I ask you whether Jesus was a man or God, this framework becomes easier to see. See, if you answer either man, like he was just a man, or he was just a God, then you diminish either his deity or his humanity, right? And you're not really you. And what the way you got there was by utilizing a binary framework, which forced a choice. Yeah, you could see some miracles. Maybe he was kind of godlike, but you know what? He really was more of a dude. So I'm saying man, right? What you're saying in your mind behind it, the framework is saying, I have to pick between man or God. Right. But if somehow you answered that question, you said, well, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, then you use something other than a binary framework to get at that conclusion. This is the mind of Christ. This is spirituality. This is third way thinking. Right. This is what we're trying to get at. Why? Because it reframes the whole world for you. Spirituality requires a new framework. Right? Jesus called it a new wineskin in Mark 2:22. He said, if you put this new wine, this content, into this old framework, this old wineskin, it's going to blow it apart because the old framework has already been stretched. It cannot take the bigness of what I'm bringing. And that's exactly what has to happen in our own world as we grow, right? So we can't see the truth. If we don't put it in a new wineskin, we will not see the wider truth. And teachings about heaven and hell always regress into the ultimate binary quagmire for most people. And so a lot of things I say make people ask questions like, well, are you saying all people go to heaven? Are you saying no, there is no hell? Are you saying everybody's saved and they just can't get over it? Why? Because all along in their whole life, they've been given this ultimate binary. This is the way that religion and fundamentalism has had ultimate control over your life, is by leveraging the biggest binary in the world, heaven or hell. Think about it. It's not your fault. And most pastors, it's not their fault because they can't see the alternative that Jesus was always trying to teach. And that was not that this binary of heaven and hell are just eternal destinations to which we are going and we have to pick right now before we die or else we miss out. What Jesus was saying is that heaven and hell are states of consciousness. Heaven and hell are eternities from which we live as much as they could ever be eternities to which we are going. And that's a much bigger thing. It reframes all of the teachings of Scripture in a brand new way. And if you miss that, you're going to get stuck into a fundamentalist trap where everything is regressing to the biggest binary in the history of the world. See, a Trinitarian, a spiritual, a third-way mindset, the mind of Christ, only emerges as we turn loose of binary frameworks. We have to get the new wineskin. And once this happens, the world opens up to us. It's called a rise in consciousness. People call it self-awareness. I call it, and the Bible calls it, salvation. I like to label it seeing beyond everything. Now, after listening to me for a while, you're going to get this much easier as you kind of grow to understand. This isn't something that's taught as much as it is caught. But from here, it's easier to answer specific questions like, hey, Kevin, are you a fundamentalist? Kevin, are you a universalist? Kevin, are you a Calvinist? Kevin, are you a this, the that? When I answer those questions, it always starts out sounding very evasive. It ends up sounding, it starts out sounding evasive, of course, because I do evade those kind of questions. But it starts to sound a lot more like Jesus because, like him, I reject any title, any category, any label, or any means of indexing my belief. So I'm not going to let you say, Kevin, you are a covenantal nomist. I'm not going to let you say, Kevin, you're a Calvinist or an Arminian or you're a universalist or you are not or you're a cessationist or any of the other stuff. Why? Because none of those things are ultimately important. Right? This isn't a battle about what denomination I am or am not. And that's another way for people to gain within their minds some egotistical upper hand. I mean, if they can label me, then they can argue against the label. Then I can become the straw man. But I'm not the straw man, and neither are you. Your beliefs are way more diversified than you actually think. You don't fall under one category, and neither does the teachings of Scripture. So why not adopt all of them as the Scripture teaches it? You see, I love you too much to get sucked into that quicksand with you, so I'm going to evade any of those categories. And I no longer defend or debate or argue theological traditions. I don't argue theology or viewpoints, even though I used to love it. I used to entice people to bring their Bible and their A game and let's go. But I can't do that anymore. It's just such a waste of time. The world's had enough arguing over religion. You see, a theological grid is helpful. It helps you understand things. But that's not the same as an inner experience with God. A theology is not God. It's a container. It's not the contents. And so, yes, it's important. It has value, but it's not all that's important. You see, truth or the gospel message are both wide and narrow, and I teach wide enough to include every single soul into the conversation. And I teach narrow enough that not a single soul can escape the invitation to go deeper. Do you understand that? So everybody's included, nobody's excluded, and then everybody has to deal with it. But the gospel has this amazing thing to power. It has this amazing power to offend liberal people in its exclusion, right? It wants to narrow the terms of belief and understanding the truth to the point that liberal people get offended at its exclusion. At the same time, the gospel offends conservative people with its inclusion, right? It's so wide and inclusive and welcoming that, you know, conservative people don't like it because it's allowing too many people in a sense. And so if I do my job, everyone is offended, and not for shock value, but because the gospel opens us up to wider truth. You see, I focus on the text of Scripture, and I let the theology sort it out within the mind of the hearer. Why? Because I'm not dogmatic, and I'm not going to preach a doctrine to you. I'm not going to teach and defend a doctrine. If you listen to all the great preachers out there, most of them are defending a doctrine while they teach the Bible. Do you realize that? They're not going to look at the book of Romans and teach it from anything other than a Calvinistic perspective if they are a Reformed teacher. They will always spin it into Calvinism. If they come from an Arminian perspective, they'll always spin it into Arminianism. That's what everybody does. And this is why I do my very best to not do that. And I know that frustrates people who insist on pinning me down into a certain category, a certain type of teaching. But I hope you learn rather than label me and just run off. You see, you kind of have to grow up to hang out here with me. I'm not going to spoon feed you. I'm not going to just keep reassuring you that your one dogmatic belief is the right belief. I'm not going to just reduce everything in Scripture to tulip or anything else, okay? I'm going to let Scripture speak and let your theology evolve as you come to know the truth. So what would it look like? Let me ask you that. What would it look like if someone truly shepherded people's understanding of the truth, but they didn't insist in the process that they possessed all that truth themselves? What would that look like? I wonder if our world has ever really seen that. I know we have, but it's so rare. What if a pastor loved people enough to deconstruct their limiting beliefs and frameworks while bringing them close enough in proximity to the Spirit that they could experience breath for themselves, Spirit for themselves? Right? What if the pastor got out of the way and just said, this is between you and God, and I'm not going to try and control and dictate and do all of that? What if rather than directing, insisting, and casting out fear, a teacher simply liberated people from their religious prisons into their own unique experience with God and themselves? What would that look like? You see, we struggle to understand what that looks like because none of our religious institutions from all the world religions seem to be able to do that. And perhaps as you answer these questions, you're going to begin to see a little bit more clearly the work I feel passionately called to do. And so, folks, I can't thank you enough for exploring the discovery of truth with me. It means so much to me that you even read this stuff or listen to this stuff or comment or give me your feedback. I'm so glad to know that you're out there, that you're not the only ones who are kind of tired of institutional power plays, and you're actually seeking the real thing and trying to find it in a more disconnected way, perhaps. But it's sincere, and it is ultimately going to bring you a deeper connection. But for those of you who have been here for over a decade, back when this was just a little thought of the week to my local sales team, thank you. And for those of you who have joined this week or in this past month or in the past 6 months, I want to welcome you to this amazing family. And I hope that it's not led by me, but ultimately by the Spirit of God. May God bless you all in your journey. And can I invite you back next week when we continue our series in Galatians? I'm going to teach you, just like Paul did, how to live like a sinner. I hope you'll come back. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.